Episode 6, How the Core Sees the Periphery, or Old Wine in New Bottles. In today's episode dedicated to the 100 Shades of the EU studies by Giuseppe Celli, Valentina Petrovic and Veronika Sulshova-Salminien, we look at how the core defines and constructs the peripheries. The 100 Shades study was supported by the Transform Europe Network and the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation. In the 1990s, optimism spread throughout Europe, promising an end to Europe's division. The Iron Curtains fall, and the beginning of a new era of prosperity and a peaceful future for the old continent. The integration process and the EU were to play a crucial role in these aspirations and hopes, in addition to playing the role of innovators, changing the meaning of power in relation between states in Europe. Unfortunately, many of these hopes have not been fulfilled. Power has remained in relations between states. In recent decades, for example, Germany's position in the EU has changed fundamentally. A new Iron Curtain is growing on the EU's eastern border, and war has returned to our continent, reminding us that brute force is still relevant in relations between states. Europe, and the European Union in particular, has been caught up in its contradictions and the growing conflict between what is and what should be. In our study, we looked at how the centre defines the two peripheries and what positions it takes towards them in the political ideological sphere. Are these attitudes egalitarian, and do they reflect a normative description to diversity as a European value? Or is diversity more of a problem, and do power relations persist? We know from the literature that the core is the seat of authority for the peripheries, creating intellectual or ideological forms of dependency. In a social sphere, the periphery seen from the core is characterized not only by dependence, but also by difference, for example, ethnic or cultural, and geographical distance. The peripheries often want to replicate the core's achievements, wanting to become equally successful, rich and influential through imitation of the patterns from the core. Imitation and the apprentice-teacher relationship often do not reflect the very fact that the core is the core by virtue of the periphery being the periphery, i.e. there is an unequal exchange that benefits the core more than the periphery in various economical ways. Imitation is thus a way of further reproducing peripherality. The willingness to imitate, to adopt models from the core, and to obey the core's opinion of ourselves obediently are forms of affirming the power of the core without reflecting structural obstacles created by the core-periphery relation. Dependency is thus confirmed in the sphere of identities, intellectual activity, or, more specifically, economic reforms. In this study, we've looked at the vision of the periphery that accompanied the EU's eastern enlargement in terms of specifically of the European Commission and its evaluation reports. Their textual analysis shows us that the eastern candidates were still evaluated and perceived as a European Orient, as countries and societies that can be characterized by what they lack compared to Western Europe. This Orientalist conception goes back to the 18th century. The Cold War created and refixed this civilizational map of Europe. But the process of Eastern expansion did not break with it. Within this mental map, the eastern part of Europe were defined as a purgatory, a transitional place between the civilizational West and the barbarism of the Orient. Purgatory, as is well known, is a place from which one can pass to paradise or hell. It must be added that this map of civilization reflected in many ways the colonial experience, including forms of cultural racism. The enlargement process was to become a purgatory from which the eastern parts of the EU would eventually advance to the west through the following models written in the core and imitation. the semi-barbaric, collectivist, traditional and backward Easterners who lacked such civilizational features as middle class, individualism, freedom or private property were to become Westerners. All they had to do was imitate, accept the role of apprentice and accept that the EU was not interested in these countries' experiences. It was only interested in them as a mirror confirming its norms and vision of the world. But what happens when the periphery fails to become the core? The studies look at the core's grasp of the financial crisis in Greece has shown that in such a case, cultural arguments come into play that make diversity and difference a handicap, and which, even at the beginning of the 21st century, are not ashamed to use 18th and 19th century Orientalist stereotypes of lazy southerners with early pensions and their siestas and overspending on women. These arguments, however, obscured the real causes of the financial crisis and the role of the EU, and Germany in particular, in creating it. In media texts and statements by Western politicians, Greece was portrayed as the culprit of its problems. The bad Oriental Southern culture and political system it produced were to blame for Greece's debts. Greece did not follow. It got out of the way. It even tried to rebel against a reform package written by the Troika through a referendum. This defiance only confirmed that Greece must be punished, even at the cost of sacrificing its convergence and brutal social consequences. In the case of the crisis in Greece, the Orientalist stereotypes, stigmatization and elements of inadequacy or lack that we saw in the case of the accession process between 1994 and 2004 were echoing from the core. The replication of the arguments about the Greek way in Central Eastern Europe opened a way to further austerity, dismantling the remnants of the welfare state and its privatization, usually accompanied by rent-seeking. But the politicians from the eastern periphery also confirmed the position of the core as the authority. It is not us but the Germans or the Dutch who determine what the crisis in Greece was or was not about. The imitation regime, especially in the eastern periphery, has been in crisis after the global financial crisis, and most notably in Poland and Hungary. The imitation of Central Eastern Europe in the context of transition integration to the EU was based on the imitation of objectives and not on the typical borrowing tools. As Krastev and Holmes have observed, the imitation of goals, i.e. the attempt to become the centre, to blend in, affects social identity and creates frustrations and psychological traumas. The imitator must contend with the fact that the very process of realisation in the unreflected context of economic and intellectual dependence and political subordination becomes an obstacle to the set goal. The fact that imitators do not acknowledge the sum game of relations with the core, i.e. that without the core there is no periphery, only reinforces the frustration. In many countries, they have recently taken on a populist or anti-European form. Our study shows that the EU's eastern periphery has been defined through Orientalism and cultural elements of the 18th century and Cold War era map of civilization during and after the accession process. The southern European periphery has not escaped a similar vision, especially in times of global financial crisis. Two essentially different processes, i.e. the process of EU enlargement and the crisis processes triggered by the global economic crisis, were accompanied by the orientalization, exclusion, stigmatization, inculcation of inadequacy, inferiority and subordination of the societies in the periphery. These strategies have only reinforced and extended the authority and power of the EU core, the neoliberal discipline in the EU, while blocking or preventing any serious discussion of the problems of the dependent economic models in the two peripheries and their weaknesses. But this is not the result of any conspiracy or ill will. It is just a manifestation of the structural relations between the core and its periphery in the ideological sphere. In the last podcast, we will talk a little more about the background, challenges, and problems for both peripheries in the EU.